definition of a pack is four wolves together.
Oh.
Okay.
So not three.
No, it's not three. So
well, three wolves are not going to get along.
It's Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so I'm going to kick off with a Victorian etiquette, if I may.
Ah, please do. Victorian etiquette.
Victorian etiquette. I found this online.
Society changes.
It does, but some things remain the same. I thought... Okay, so there was pages and pages of etiquette. So I just want to touch on how to behave when one is at the theater, opera, or concerts.
Okay.
But before that, we need to be clear on just basic breaches
okay.
of etiquette. These are things that you must never mm-hmm. do in the Victorian era. Number one, it is a breach of etiquette to remove one's gloves when making a formal call.
Making a formal
period.
Call.
So like I'm courting, I'm coming okay. over to, you know, to meet with, you know, Miss Eliza or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm Gerald, for some reason.
Gerald.
I must not remove my gloves during the call.
Really?
Yes.
That's I wonder
I keep
why.
Gloves on. I don't know. Maybe evidence? I have no idea.
Or that means your flesh is going to be, like, touching?
Yeah, there's no touching.
All right.
I guess if you come into a room and there's a glove on the floor, it's like, what? Eliza, out of the room. She's a young lady.
This is my Victorian older woman.
Clutching a pearls.
Yeah. Okay.
So. I like that. You must not stare around the room. Staring around the room is just don't do it. Just look straight ahead, look down.
Okay.
For a caller who is waiting, the entrance, it is a breach of etiquette for a caller who is waiting for the entrance of a hostess to open the piano or touch an open piano.
Do not.
Oh. You better have a glove on.
You better have a glove on. That's my stuff. Yes. Don't sit there and yes. think you can play that.
Don't touch me. It is a breach of etiquette to go to the room of an invalid unless invited. So don't just walk up on Miss Havisham.
Yeah.
You got to ask first.
Well, that holds true
yes.
today. Don't
that's what I'm saying. Some of these things
yeah.
It is a breach of etiquette to look at your watch when calling upon someone.
Is this bee going to get down here or what?
It is a breach of etiquette to walk around the room when waiting for a hostess. So do not pace. Stay where you are. Keep your glove on. Do not stare.
Well, that's also... Yeah, you don't walk around someone's living room and look at all their stuff.
Keep in mind then... To
case
look
in
at,
the, that's called case in the joint.
Case
joint.
In the joint, yeah. Keep in mind to look at your watch, that was not as simply to look at the wrist. It was to pull out a pocket watch.
Flip it open.
So if you have it, if you're, it's, you're in the call, we're having a conversation, I should not fiddle into my waistcoat.
Yeah.
And pull out a big ass pocket watch and then look, click it open, look at it.
Okay.
Put it away and then look back at you. Mm-hmm. Still talking?
Time.
Time.
My turn to talk.
It is a breach of etiquette to open or shut a door, raise or lower a curtain, or in any other way alter the arrangement of the room when visiting.
Yeah.
So this people have set these things up exactly the way they want them. This is a stage. Don't go messing around with the props, basically.
I felt that way. I was in the waiting room at a doctor's office, and a woman came by and, like, fiddled with the blind. Another patient. I was like,
It could be that way for a reason.
Yeah. Don't touch it.
Yeah, it's the same thing when I'm in the waiting room and then someone's like starts fiddling with the radio station. I'm like, no.
Mm-mm.
Just leave it the way Mm-mm. that it is. We're not going to be here that long.
Yeah, don't touch it.
Don't touch anything. Do not turn your chair so that your back faces another guest.
That's
unless you mean it.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn my chair, take off my glove.
Look at your watch.
Look at my watch and then touch
the piano.
The piano. And shut a window. It is a breach of etiquette to play with any ornament in the room, or to seem to be aware of anything but the company present while visiting. So it was really hard, I guess, in the Victorian era to stay focused on your lady
yeah.
and your gentleman.
Because yeah.
most of these things are like, stop fiddling, stop looking around. You don't need to get out the window.
Yeah.
You're good. It's a breach of etiquette to remain when you find the host or hostess dressed to go out. Oh, are you leaving?
Oh, I'll just sit here.
Yes.
I need to relax.
Are you wearing that fur and hat and that cape?
Yeah.
Just around? And it's also, this is a final breach of etiquette, to make a remark about another caller who has just left the room. Did you get a load of Larry? Did you see that, the way he doffed his hat?
Yeah.
He had no gloves on.
I bet you he doesn't even have a decent pocket watch.
Yes, he rubbed his hands all over the piano.
Yeah.
All over.
He opened a window.
So those are breaches of etiquette. So here's some etiquette at the theater, opera, and concert.
Okay, so now we're at the theater.
We've gone out.
You picked up your intended.
There's a lot of rules about getting into an aisle.
Oh, okay.
And getting out of an
aisle.
Well,
you know what? Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
In entering the hall in which the entertainment is given, a gentleman should walk by the side of the lady until you get to the aisle.
Uh-huh.
If the width of the aisle is not sufficient for this, then the gentleman goes first.
Yes, to block the way.
To block the way.
Yeah. You do. You have to get through the crowd.
As a rule, the gentleman should take the outer seat. This is also in church.
Mm.
But if this is the best seat for hearing or seeing, it belongs to the lady.
That's right.
To leave a lady alone during the waits, quote unquote, and going out to, quote, get a drink, unquote, or to, quote, unquote, speak to a friend. So I guess these are euphemisms.
Okay.
Back in the day. I don't know if they're talking about for a quick wank, or I don't know. It's indicative of bad manners. The gentleman is bound to remain by the lady's side until the end of the entertainment. Don't dip out the back.
Oh, you can't.
Don't go out, have a smoke. Don't grab a drink.
You're accompanying the lady. You don't leave her alone.
Yeah. At the opera, it's customary for ladies and gentlemen to leave their seats and promenade in the lobbies or foyer during of the house during the intervals between the acts. So promenade here is a verb. I like that. We don't promenade up this mo.
Don't just promenade out.
Yes. Promenade. The gentleman should always invite the lady to do so, to promenade.
Okay. Would you like to promenade with me?
Should she decline, he is bound to remain with her. And they do not promenade.
And he's just holding it in. Yeah. He has to go to the bathroom.
Now, I thought this one was interesting. A gentleman accompanying a lady is not bound to give up his seat to another lady.
His duty is
to the lady he accompanies. So okay. If you're with your lady and there are only two seats, another lady comes in, it's like she's just ass out.
Yeah.
You don't have to give it to her.
You dance with the person you came with.
And you sit with them as well. It is especially bad in bad taste for lovers to indulge in affectionate demonstrations.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No wah
wah. Ooga. None of that. Gentlemen must see to it that the lady accompanying him is provided with a program and libretto at the opera.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
And he should.
Applause is the just due of the deserving actor. It should be given liberally. Applaud by clapping the hands, not by stamping or kicking with the feet. Was that a problem?
Kicking.
Yes.
She's standing up and giving a big old
whop
Broadway kick.
Yes. A kick line forms. It was so good.
You know what? Just imagine, like, some people like that lived in the country and they didn't go out that often.
True, true, yeah.
And maybe, like, a celebration and stuff is doing a big hoedown.
Yeah. Yes. No, none of that.
Yeah.
No hoeing down. Upon escorting the lady back home, gentlemen should ask permission to call upon her the next day, which request she should grant.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go out with this guy one time, apparently you got to go out with him again.
Oh, yeah.
She should, in her own sweet way, cause him to feel that he has conferred a genuine pleasure upon her by his invitation. I don't know what your own sweet way is.
Ew.
Make it your own.
Gerald.
Read the room.
Gerald, I had a lovely time with you. How's that?
Would you like to go out again? You know I have to say yes. And then, I like this one. A gentleman who can afford it should always provide a carriage. If his means do not permit this, he should not embarrass himself by assuming the expense.
Ooh.
Yeah. In the event that the evening be stormy, he should not expect the lady to venture out without a carriage, though.
Yeah.
So, don't even think about it. I like these. I think these are not bad. And they're not as restrictive.
Yeah, don't expect her to be walking around with you in the rain because you can't have a carriage.
But it's also saying, too, like, if you don't have a lot of money, be real. Walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Walk to the opera. You know? If it starts to rain, that's it. It says, when you ask a lady to go to the opera, you have to send an invitation no later than the day before. Not the day of. It has to be at least the day before. It must be written in the third person upon a white note paper of the finest quality, matching envelope.
Well, how is she supposed to answer?
Well, she has to send the reply immediately.
As soon as she gets it.
So that she should be able... So that should she be able to... Unable to attend, the gentleman may secure another lady.
Yes.
Secure, I like that. And the last one, should the lady accept the invitation, the gentleman must secure the best seats within his means. No nosebleeds. But again, don't break the bank. If he is unable to obtain seats, inform her at once and mm-hmm. then set the date up for another time.
Okay.
So it's just an interesting to think about. Back then, maybe there were a lot of guys who were like, okay, I'm going to get tickets and then try to track down a lady. Okay. Felicia's not into it. Cecilia's not down. Mm. Eliza will go.
Well, we all know that.
We all know that she'll go again. But then there's also the guys that are like, hey, do you want to go out with me? The woman says yes. And she's like, shit, I don't have any tickets.
Yes. And then he has to scramble.
Yes.
And remember, there's no phones.
No. So you can't order on your phone. You finally got a hot date with Eliza. And then you're like, fuck, it's sold out.
And what you had to write a whole note
mm-hmm.
on paper.
You had to write a note. She got a note back. So maybe, we're thinking that this happens immediately. This could take a week to set this up.
Mm-hmm.
Then by the time you get the yes, it's like there's no seats. Damn it.
Yeah.
And then you're back to it again.
Oh, wow. That is
That's a lot of etiquette. I like it, though. I like that it keep your gloves on. Don't get fresh with me.
Yeah. Well, we had an email from one of our listeners, Michael F.
Yes.
And he had, he sent us some... quality.
Yeah, he gave us a five pack.
Five packs. He says, okay, after listening to your show, I realized you're right. There's no real father-in-law advice or that usually gets discussed standard. So I went and found some.
I can't wait
for gave us a couple of pieces.
Yeah. There's a lot of mother-in-law advice we get. And I think it has to do with the fact that the majority of the agony aunts or the advice givers are in women's publications, the ones that we've been looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be mostly related to women's issues, and that's usually around, you know, other women
mm-hmm.
in terms of the mother-in-law. So what does he got for us?
Okay. And so I said, here it.
Father-in-law.
Dear Prudence, recently an encounter with my partner's father went very wrong.
Okay.
He started using racial slur in my home and persisted even after my partner asked him to stop.
Okay.
I asked him to stop and he started calling me names. So
what?
I told him to leave. According to my partner's mother, who supports us, my partner's father now thinks I'm a literal witch. And he has taken my partner out of his will.
Huh?
Oh. My partner and his father have had numerous problems in the past, and I know that he will not apologize and will likely say more hateful things to me. I also know I will never have to see him again. We'll want to know what is the best way to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
I have never, ever fought with someone like this, especially not with a partner's family. I feel ashamed, though I know my partner stands with me. Do I approach him as I normally would or go gray rock with him?
Okay. First of all, I've had a little experience with this. I'm gonna guess this is a black woman because when I've done some interracial dating, I've had people accuse me of being a witch because why else would someone be with me unless I cast some kind of spell over them? Which I find bizarre.
What?
Because there is really no in the pantheon that I was, you know, aware of with racial insults. Being called a witch as a black person is not. That's not even in my mind. Like,
yeah, it's not even a thing.
That's not even.
Yeah.
Apparently, it is for some deep. Racists.
That
not only isn't an insult, but it's like we don't have a tradition in our culture of black women being witches.
Yeah.
That's not really a lot of things.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
witches?
Yeah. Right.
No.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that. I just wish I'd known. So, first of all, I just wanted to say that she shouldn't be ashamed. Why is she ashamed?
Because I think that she's... One thing she said here is that she's never had a problem like this. She's never fought with anybody.
Yeah,
but now she feels like maybe there's something wrong with her because she did this.
This guy sounds like an old school bigot.
Yeah.
And then why does he... I love the idea that people think, and maybe this is a cultural thing, that I'm not going to give you my money. So...
You better do... Like, I get to treat you however
I would
want
say,
to.
Once you take the money away, it's like, now I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
See ya.
Right.
Right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, all right.
Well, the thing is, if you're leaving somebody money, it's not because you're trying to control them. It's because you're like...
Apparently it is, though.
Yeah.
Apparently we don't have that kind of money in my family.
Yeah.
We're like, just don't leave with debt.
Yeah.
Like, don't leave with a bill. But like...
My grandmother once, she said, if I see you smoking, I'll take you out of my will.
Okay.
And that was more for
that's
our benefit.
That's different, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a health thing. She wasn't like, if I see you hanging around with a Mexican, I'm taking you out of my will.
Right,
that was not the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's ashamed, I guess, because she never fought like this before, and then she doesn't know what to do. So okay. She's like, she feels there's something inherently wrong with her for
that's terrible. Well, I don't know. This woman's been living in a cave, but okay. I don't know what her nationality is.
Okay, so the advice is, I'm not sure why you or your partner have to see his father again.
Yeah. Thumbs up. Thumbs up.
Presumably, if casual acquaintances came into your home, started using racial slurs until you had to force them to leave, and then later refused to apologize, you would not continue seeing them socially.
Yeah, right? Who cares if it's a relative?
I see no reason why you should behave differently just because your partner has the misfortune to be related to this guy.
Mm-hmm. And it's sad, too, because I've had many a friend that didn't know that their parents were racist.
Yeah.
And then something like this happens, and it's like, what?
Yeah, then it's like,
well,
what
do you do? Find out until...
You put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah. Until you start bringing people home, and then they're like, what?
Oh. Then you find out, then it's like, how do I still have a relationship but not deal with this? Or do I cut the...
It's a tough one.
It's really hard.
I mean, I've cut people off, friends and family members, for their bigotry. I don't have time for them. Mm-hmm. But not everybody has the strength or is in a position to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But these people sound like... I mean, he's cut you out of the will, so you're we're done. Right? Like, apparently, that's all he had to offer.
Yeah. There are basic rules that govern civil human interactions, and refraining from or at least apologizing for hateful racist behavior has got to be the most easily achievable of them all.
Hold on, though. Can you apologize for something like that?
For being that? Unless, well...
For being a racist?
Well, if you see the error of your ways.
But...
Right?
Okay, so let's go through this. The guy has been a bigot for like 60 years, mm-hmm. 70 years. He's using these racial slurs. It's only a shock for the husband and the wife, or maybe, I don't know how much of a shock it is for the husband, but it's a shock for this wife because this is the first time this has happened to mm-hmm. her. But this guy's had these beliefs for a really, really, really long time.
Yeah.
What's he going to apologize for? Like, he's going to apologize for saying what he believes? Right. It's too late. You know what I mean? It's too late. That's what you believe. Right. You believe that these people, someone is inferior. Or, you know, less than, for whatever reasons, because of who they are. What kind of apology can you make for them? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I think that you people are low level.
No, you apologize only if you realize you're
wrong. That's what I'm saying, but he's not going to realize
he's not going to realize
in this moment.
No.
You know?
No, he's not going to realize it. So then how much do you take any of it at all?
None. I would say. I mean, I'm speaking from, my husband is of Cypriot and American descent. I would think if someone that I knew that was close to said some negative things about him and his culture, I'd be like, okay, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need that. Like, who's going to stand for that?
Right.
For someone to insult one of the most important people in your life? I don't know.
Yeah. It happens all the time. And in a lot of white families.
And they just let it go.
Yeah, it's all let go because so many people are like that.
Well,
and like, how do you, and then you have to like reformulate your whole entire family and social circle and community that
you
live
in. I mean, I've had to do it in terms of, not so much for racial stuff, but in terms of like, you know, people who are homophobic, I can't, anti-Semitic, I can't deal with that. I'm not going to be around those people.
Yeah.
I have a very small group of friends probably because of that. I don't have time for that.
Right.
Because we hang around with all kinds of people.
Right.
We can't have the risk of one of our friends feeling uncomfortable because it's more important for us to, you know, let old racist Uncle Jim say what he has to say.
Right.
No.
You don't have to tolerate that or hang around people.
Those people can go to the Klan and hang out and have their little thing over there where people are okay with that.
Yeah. That's why, you know, most people who realize, like, you grow up, like a lot of people grow up being racist or homophobic
and
or misogynistic.
And when you're a kid, there's not much you can do.
Right. But then you grow up and you realize, and then you move.
Yeah.
And you get new friends.
You move and you get new friends. Right. And you don't deal with those people.
All right. So, if you have to live with your partner's father out of financial necessity, I might advise you to keep your interactions with him limited and neutral. But you and your partner are both independent adults. And even if your partner has to visit his father, you do not.
He doesn't either. This is what people don't seem to understand.
Yeah. Since his father doesn't believe he did anything wrong and is likely to have behave similarly in the future, I think you and your partner should reevaluate whether you want to spend any time with him at all.
Yeah.
This is a really hard one.
It's a hard one, but it's you really get to think about, like, what is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem with racism is that people see it as not as benign. This guy, like, just because he's dropping whatever kind of, and or whatever it is, whatever he's saying. And, oh, he's just saying something. But these are the people who support legislation. These are the people who go out and visit violence upon communities. These are the people that make life really, really hard for a lot of people. So that slur is literally, like, to, in my mind, is the tip of what they're doing.
Iceberg.
You don't know what else this person is doing.
Right.
Somebody is in the Klan. Mm-hmm. Right? Somebody voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Like, somebody is, you know, anti-women's choice. Mm-hmm. Somebody is pushing these. Somebody is burning down churches. Somebody is defacing synagogues. And if it's not these people,
they're making it really easy for other people to do it. You don't just jump
in. Yeah, it's either they're doing something wrong. I mean, I guess that's my... I mean, that's where I guess I'm coming from, that kind of as a minority. It's like, there's this idea that it's just like, racism is just like kind of out there doing its thing. No, it's a very real, visceral thing for a lot of people. And it's just shocking. I have my prejudices too, but I'm not going to be confronting anybody with them like that. Like, going to somebody's home and make trying to make them feel bad about who they are.
Yeah.
And then being like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, what kind of an asshole? I don't know. I think you really have to consider if you want people like that in your life at all, because what else are they doing? Mm-hmm. I was taught to believe that there's no such thing as, like, you know, someone who's just one kind of bigot. You know, it's like, you don't just hate one kind of person. You hate lots of kind of people. You probably hate yourself, right? So is that somebody you want around you and your partner? I don't know. Is that someone you want around your kids?
Yeah.
Because racism is taught.
It's taught and it's tolerated.
Yeah.
It's tolerated to the extent of, like, all right, fine, you said that thing or
just,
whatever.
But it's not that he just, like, I always think about, because my mom didn't do a lot of stuff in the civil rights movement because of where we were. But when you see those images of the protesters, and then you see all those other people who are anti-protesters, that's your fucking grandfather, man. Like, that's that guy.
The
people who, like, you know, when a black family moved into a neighborhood and, you know, during the era when they were trying to do desegregation, somebody burnt their house down. Who do you think that was?
Yeah.
You think it wasn't him?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Who was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone who's bold enough to come in and start shouting racial epithets in my mind might do anything. I think it's, yeah, it's interesting. But that's our society doesn't like to, you know, it has to be a kind of thing, oh, he's just saying that. He's just anti-Semitic.
That's
it's
what,
like,
happens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that is going to be a big thing for her husband to say, oh, I'm not going to be around you
anymore. And it's amazing because I have a lot of friends whose parents are racist or homophobic, anti-Semitic, and they're not. Mm-hmm. So I guess they forgot to teach their kids that. Or, I don't know, it didn't somehow get down the line. Mm-hmm. It's very fascinating. I don't know.
It is.
Okay, interesting. Thank you,
Michael F.
Good luck to them.
Yes. What do you have?
I'm just enjoying the conversation. I'm sorry. And this croissant. All right.
I got the four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, repeat. 209 West 40th Street. #BunkLifeNYC.
So I love wolves.
You do love a wolf.
I love wolves. I have a wolf tattoo. Wolves are my spirit animal. And I found this interesting article. It's that wolves expected to make their move to Southwest Oregon.
Oh, really?
So it says there's a gray wolf out there, and they've been tagging wolves to, like, keep track of them because to see what's happening to the wolf population. So when they tag a wolf, instead of giving it a name, they give it a number. Mm-hmm. And this one is just called Wolf OR-7. Can they come up with something else?
Yes. You know, that's like how they name the public schools. PS-72.
Just
like,
give them a name. Like, isn't there something? There's got to be something distinctive about this guy.
Right.
In any case, so Gray Wolf OR-7 made his historic and famous trek from northeastern Oregon to find a mate in territory of his own. So they've been tracking this dude. He's just out on the prowl, literally. Trying to get a little strange.
Yes.
You know, settle down.
I'm a lone wolf.
I'm a lone wolf.
And I'm out.
I'm out there, ladies. So he wandered 1,000 miles through Oregon and Southern Oregon and Northern California looking for a lady. And he finally found one in Jackson County.
Wow.
He found a female wolf.
Oh, hubba hubba.
So they've been together for a
while. Where have you been all my life?
They have a family now.
Jackson County. That's where I've been.
A new draft report on the wolves concludes that OR-7, his mate and 4 offspring, are the only official wolf pack in the northeastern corner of the state. I looked up, the definition of a pack is 4 wolves together.
Oh.
Okay.
So not 3.
No, it's not 3. So,
well, 3 wolves are not going to get along.
It's 4 wolves who travel together in the wintertime.
Oh.
That's a pack.
Okay.
So I guess in the rest of the year, fine, whatever. But so he,
there's always going to be an odd man out for the three.
Well, this is where the story goes because they're the only wolf pack now. But guess what? There's some other dudes who are now are thinking about hooking up their own wolf pack in the area.
Oh.
It's been sniffing around. At least three male wolves who've been outfitted with GPS collars have been tracked in southwestern Oregon. And then three uncollared wolves looking for ladies. So, I mean, this OR7 went there and got a lady. So I'm imagining other wolves are like, hell yeah.
This is
the place to be. It says that the wolves are dispersing and establishing themselves. Right now, OR7 and his mate, they've had some pups. The idea is that as their pups get older, if one of them is a girl, then another wolf is going to be hanging around trying to like get, you know, something going with her. So they have the two other males in the area, OR25. Mm-hmm. And OR3. I'm like, the 3-year-old OR25 moved into the eastern part of the county, has been lurking around the edge of OR7. Mm-hmm. And then who is his cousin, apparently. So either these wolves are trying to come to the area, or I think, this is my theory, that OR7 was a pioneer wolf. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'll go check it out.
Yeah.
See how it is.
He is the ultra alpha.
Yeah, he's got a woman, and he probably went back home and told everybody else, y'all come on over here.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
Over here.
There's food, women.
Yeah, he did the reconnaissance
for everybody. It's all happening. Yeah. So it says that this area is perfect for wolves. It's forested, there's public land, there's elk, there's prey, there's low human presence, and low road density. So this is like a perfect place for wolves to settle. Sadly, one of the wolves, so they had a bunch of collared wolves, and one of them was shot by a poacher. Why do people shoot wolves? What for? You can't eat a wolf. And these wolves weren't bothering anybody. So I thought
that's really sad. They were trying to be.
Yeah. Like, well, they want wolves to come to this area. I mean, they want to repopulate with wolves because wolves do, you know, they take care of the forest. Like, they get rid of the animals that are sick. And it's just, you know, this is where they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. I would love to. I've never seen a wolf in the wild. I don't think I've ever seen one in an animal sanctuary either. I would love to see a wolf. I'd be so excited. It'd be so cool.
Yeah, I would be scared, but I'd also like it.
I mean, there's nothing to be scared of specifically.
Well, I'm afraid of dogs.
Okay.
So it's like a phobia.
Then I get it.
That's the kind of thing.
In that case, yeah. But for the most part, they're not really going to mess with you at all. They're saying they're calling the area now a wolf superhighway because now the more wolves that go this route, the more wolves are attracted to it. So maybe we'll see more wolves.
Oh, a superhighway.
A superhighway of wolves.
Yeah. All right.
Wolves in Oregon. All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from Dare Campfire.
Ooh. Tales from Dare Campfire is my favorite segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, folklore, fake lore, ghost stories.
Scary stuff.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire. So please
gather around, listeners. Okay, this is called A Night Full of Horror.
Okay.
Took place in California.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Horrifying.
This was a few months ago. It was...
no matter when it is. This just happened.
Yeah. It was a late night, and me, my mom, and one of my sisters were all sitting in the living room. We were just gossiping and rambling about things here and there.
You know how we do.
We have two ceiling fans, one in the living room and the other one.
What? Okay. Does this feature prominently?
Yes.
The ceiling fan.
Oh, yes. The haunt is... one in the living room.
It's going to get you.
Haunted circulation.
Yes, it's a haunted breeze.
The other one was in the dining room, and they were both
chilling. Yes. Okay.
After a while, the conversation started to get a little dull.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
It was silent until my mom spoke up and said, "What's wrong with the fan? Why is it going so slow?"
It was bored.
Yeah. It's like, oh
God, are you kidding me?
At that exact moment, the fan began moving extremely quick. We all looked at each other and sort of giggled. It was an odd coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The power surge.
Later that night, I went to bed.
As one does.
I was falling asleep until I randomly woke up.
Oh, my goodness.
I was
Any moment now, it's going to get paranormal up in here.
I was really thirsty, so I got up and went to the kitchen to get water. While walking to the kitchen, I felt as if I was being watched but everyone was in bed.
Okay.
I walked over to switch off the lights, and right when the room went dark, I heard someone whisper, "Hey."
Are you kidding me? Yeah. That was creepy.
I turned around quickly startled, but I thought it was my sister until I turned around and I saw no one there.
It's the hey sounded like the, you know, the typical like drug dealer when you're a kid. Yeah. They saw the commercials like, hey, yeah, you want some ludes? Make you feel good.
I slowly opened the door to her room and I saw her lying in bed. Mm-mm. I ignored it even though it creeped me out. I went into my room and for some reason I left the door open.
Why? What? Would you kidding me?
I know.
Have you not seen a horror film?
I crawled into my bed, and at this point, I wasn't tired anymore. Hours passed, and I couldn't fall asleep. The whole night, I felt like I was being watched. I got 2 hours of sleep that night, but I woke up panting because I just woke up from a nightmare. The nightmare was about some odd-looking person with the biggest smile who was following me around the house, and he was everywhere I went, and every time I could see him, he would whisper, hey.
Oh.
Sounded just like the voice I heard. To this day, I don't get up at night for any reason.
What?
To this day, I sleep with the door closed.
Wow. That's scary. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about this for a second, though. Sleeping the door open versus the door closed.
Why would you do that?
It's a difficult one for me.
Oh, why? Oh, okay.
Because I feel like if you shut the door, then you don't know what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep the door open, obviously, you won't have the opportunity mm-hmm. to, you know, barricade it or do anything like that. But at least you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the worst case scenario is door cracked open a little bit. I don't like that.
No, I don't like that.
I don't like that because then you can't fully see
yeah.
anything.
No.
What's going on. And you can be peeped in on.
Yeah.
In that way. Are you door open, door closed?
Door closed. Door closed all the way.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
All the way and every time.
This is one of the things I think is great about having a dog. I always feel like in any moment when I would be scared, if I have a dog, mm-hmm. the dog would like alert me first,
mm-hmm.
or the dog would get eaten first. Either way, the dog is a warning. Either yeah. I hear the dog bark or I hear the dog being chomped on. Mm-hmm. Either way is good for me.
Yes.
I have time.
I live in an apartment and sometimes I can hear my neighbors and it's actually a very comforting thing because they have the same yeah. pattern. They come in and they can hear.
It's weird
blah, blah, blah.
If you live in a building and you never hear anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, hearing other people, and it's oddly comforting to have other people so close by, as opposed to, like, if you live in the country mm-hmm. for a long time, like, there's nobody around you, sometimes that can be scary.
Yeah.
If you're an urban
person. You're not used to it, yeah.
yeah. Right.
I always found that way, because I grew up in a really rural area, and I forget when I have friends come down, it can be eerie for them, because mm-hmm, I'm mm-hmm. not used to it. It's dark and quiet.
Well, you know, my place is rather small. You've seen yeah. my place. And if I'm in my room, I can hear if somebody is clinking dishes in the kitchen.
Okay, yeah.
Which is yeah, totally yeah. fine. I was in my bedroom. It was the middle of the night, and there was nobody in my apartment. Nobody okay. was there.
That you knew of. Da-da-da.
And I woke up, and I'm like, and I heard dishes clinking in the kitchen.
Yo!
And I was like,
that's scary.
Guess what? I didn't hear that.
You're like, canceled.
That didn't happen.
That never happened.
That didn't happen.
That's creepy.
Didn't happen. I'm like, I gotta go and see what's going on. And I got up and I looked and it was like nothing.
Were dishes even out?
Dishes were on the dish rack.
Huh. That's weird.
And I was like,
It was like clinking of dishes, like.
Yeah, like somebody. Like
putting dishes away.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't like that sound.
I'll tell you a somewhat scary story about this. When I was staying in Panama City, I rented an apartment in a high rise. I was on like the 50th floor.
Oh.
And this was a building. It was a new building. And so like many buildings in Panama City, very few people had rented in it. I didn't realize that when I moved in. I'd been there for a couple of days and I'm like, I'm not really seeing anybody. But as it turned out, I was like one of the only people on my floor.
Ooh.
Really, really high.
Wow.
So at night, sometimes in the evenings, the electricity will go off, but it'll usually come back on pretty quickly. So I'm in this apartment building, 50th floor, looking out. You can see the whole city from it. And I noticed that, like, okay, the lights are going off over there. The lights are going off over here. And then, like, slowly, it's like, however the grid was set up, I was like, fuck. And then the lights went off in my apartment. So I'm in this apartment by myself. It's one of these, it's a modern building. You can't open the windows.
Okay.
You know, because you're really, really hyped. You can't open the windows. I was not prepared for. All I had was my cell phone. That was the only light that I had. So I had that light on, which normally is not eerie until it's the only thing on. I look out in the hallway, no lights in the hallway. And so then I'm faced with the question of, do I open it was pitch black in the hallway mm-hmm. because there are no windows. At least in the apartment, there was light from the moon, you know, like that kind of stuff because mm-hmm. it was a lot of glass. So I look out the hallway and I see nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. That's the phone's scary. Not working. The internet's like, I'm like, what do I do?
And you can't. You're up 50 floors.
I'm up 50
You can't
floors.
Get in the elevator.
So I'm like, do I try to walk down 50 flights of steps? Then I'm going to be in a stairwell? Oh. What if I get spooked and run?
And what if it's one of the stairwells that the door is locked
yes,
behind you?
Yes, once you get inside. Yeah. So I was just, I couldn't even, I was so freaked out that I did. I just sat in the living room.
Yeah.
And I put the phone upside down and left a little light from the phone.
Yeah.
And the electricity came back on within a few minutes, but it was like the longest
few minutes. Life.
And it was, and I thought about like, what would I actually do? Here I am in a city that I don't know. I don't know anyone. There's no electricity. It's not necessarily a dangerous city, but anywhere in the dark is dangerous. And I'm just in this high-rise apartment building alone.
Ooh,
the only person on my...
That's
and
scary.
It was a big building. So it was a big... I would say the apartment that I was in was 2 or 3 bedrooms. So were all of the other apartments. This is a lot of empty space.
It's a lot of space.
a lot
oh, yeah,
of space.
No kidding.
Enough for a horror movie.
Oh, all right. Scary.
So,
hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine. What do you got?
Speaking of horrifying, I got something here about Bigfoot.
Oh, Bigfoot,
so we've been
yes.
doing a little, we're talking about Bigfoot every once in a while because we don't want to leave our, the people who are into the, cryptids? Or no, cryptozoologists.
Yes.
We don't want to leave those people out of the loop. So there's an Ohio science professor explains why Bigfoot isn't likely. This
okay.
is a killjoy. Just for the record, I don't think there's Bigfoot out there, but I'm not going to close it off. We don't know it's out there.
We don't know.
I'm saying maybe people are saying something. Maybe it's not. This kind of ape man, it's something though, and whatever.
It's not the missing link.
It's not the missing link. I don't know what it is. People are saying something, whatever.
I love
and it's
keeping
fun.
The door open to this kind of stuff. Yes.
It's not hurting anybody.
Right.
It's like he's like trying to subvert elections or anything. All right, so this is in Ohio. Bigfoot believers and skeptics alike got together at Loudonville's Ohio Theater on Monday night for a scientific discussion on Bigfoot. I would love to go to something like that. It sounds like fun.
It does. It does. Yes.
So, Mark Wilson is a geology and natural science professor at the College of Worcester, led the presentation titled A Scientific Perspective on Bigfoot.
Okay.
So, 300 people showed up. About half were pro-Bigfoot.
Okay.
The other half were not Bigfoot supporters.
Well, why skeptics. Would you show up?
Skeptics.
Okay.
And also, maybe people like us who are like, this looks like fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know where Loudonville is. Maybe it's a small town, and it's like, hey, let's go check this out.
Yeah, all right.
Everyone's going to be there. The lecture was to explain that scientists do not believe it's likely that the creature exists. Well, this scientist, right? I've long been interested in the Bigfoot legend and other strange and unusual things, said Wilson. Bigfoot, also known as Sasquatch or Grassman.
Grassman.
In Ohio. That's new.
This is totally
We've talked about the names of Bigfoot before. Yeah. Grassman. Is usually described as a large, hairy, bipedal, ape-like creature living in the woods of North America. So he started using the scientific method. The hypothesis was Bigfoot is real, and then he goes through and tries to disprove it. He listed several examples of reported proof, like footprints, remains, DNA, and photographs, and eyewitnesses, and they've all been debunked. Or that they've been shown to be fakes. He said there are too many doubts, too many errors, and too many possibilities of fraud. Some people who were in the audience had spotted Bigfoot, and they told their stories. And he was like, that's not credible.
Oh,
I don't.
Yes. Sorry, I don't believe
it.
Yeah,
I don't believe it. He said that they make good stories, but they don't make good science. Then he gave a lot of explanations. One of them, which we debunked, was there has never been any real biological evidence like bodies, bones, skin, hair, or DNA. And we said that's because leprechauns eat all of it.
That's right.
They eat all of it.
The leprechauns.
Native American, they use every part of
Sasquatch. Yeah.
This guy says to have an animal be real in the world of science, we have to have some real part of the animal, and there's nothing at all. I don't know about that, because aren't we talking about things in outer space that we're not 100% sure of?
Yeah. I mean, why do you have to see everything?
You don't have to see everything. Leave it open. Yeah. Leave it open.
And the leprechauns, you know,
those bastards, they eat everything.
They eat everything.
Is that additionally, any kind of hominid, like a Bigfoot, would need a significant population of hundreds of individuals to reproduce.
I just read on a previous show about animals and how, like, the octopus has 2,000 eggs and lets them free, and the Empire Penguin has one.
Yeah. We also were just reading about these wolves. There are very, very few of them.
Yeah.
Some of these wolf populations are significantly less than hundreds of individuals, and they managed to get their freak on and make another one. So whatever. It's that it's not so... And primates generally flourish in tropical and subtropical locations like South America, Equatorial Africa, and Southeast Asia. It's not a likely place to find an unknown bipedal hominid in North America. Mm-hmm. But whatever, we're talking about something different here. He also said, the myth persists because it's a tale, it's easy to fake. Human perception is easily fooled, so people rely on what they see. And if you believe in Bigfoot, you will see Bigfoot. He also said that the Bigfoot industry, what is this, Bigfoot? The Bigfoot industrial complex. The Bigfoot industry is profitable.
Bigfoot.
Yeah, Bigfoot.
They have the lobbyists.
Corporate foot.
Yeah.
With television shows, conferences like yours, equipment and tours geared towards the creature. And he says it's a classic American folklore. He said, I know there's a lot of people who believe in Bigfoot in this town, or Grassman as they call him. And then he said, but it's possible that it probably just doesn't exist.
Aww.
Yeah. It's not very much fun.
No.
I like the idea. There's something fun about Bigfoot. Not only that it's like it's not just a North American legend either. We found like Yeti, along with Snowman. Like this idea comes up in different places, and we reported in past podcasts about how it could be a deity figure or an ideal, you know, like an ideal figure for some cultures.
Right.
For us, it's, you know, it reminds Katie and I of the 70s.
Yeah, with time.
You know, all things are possible. Cut-offs.
Cut-off jeans. Yeah.
You know, take the top off necklaces. Off of your Jeep.
Yep.
You know.
Do all these things.
Tubing.
Yep.
All right, what do you have?
Listener mail.
Oh, awesome. So if you would like to send us some mail, you may do so at heyyouknowit@gmail.com, and we will thank you. We will not keep your address or give it to anybody. We won't even let people know who you are unless you want us to.
Yeah, but this is from Carmen.
Okay, thanks, Carmen.
Yes. So Carmen writes, robot humor! !
Yeah.
A little robot humor I thought you'd like.
Okay.
Well, as humorous as we can find their scary asses.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
Love the show. Just finished binge listening from the beginning.
Wow.
Hilarious show. Can't wait for more.
Thanks so much.
Thank you
from
so much
beginning.
From the beginning. That is
from Faith No More.
Our very first episode. God, that was so long ago.
That was
ago,
a long time ago.
Jeez. So thank you so much. And so there was a link that Carmen sent us. It was to a video, and we could just talk about it a little bit, where this guy has a robot that drives the car up to a drive-through window. So he's in the back seat.
Is this in the U.S.?
No, okay. It's not. It's somewhere else. And so this robot, it's clearly a robot, you know, with it, and orders the food and freaks out each of the fast food workers at the window, who are all, it's just a series of all these reaction shots of the fast food workers like interacting with the robot.
Wow.
And it was just really, really funny. And
I'll post it.
Yeah. We'll put
we'll
a link
tweet
up
it,
to
yeah.
it. And, so it was really nice to see something that wasn't actually
that
terrifying.
Was scary about robots. So the guy sitting in the back, what did the robot look like?
It looked like a real
a humanoid.
No, it was definitely all plastic. It was you could see all the wires and the
but it was set up like apart, like with a head.
Yeah, it had a head
and
like a face, and it was definitely moved like a robot and like an old school robot. And he was talking through the robot and interacting with the.
So he was controlling it. Okay.
Yeah, it was his voice coming through. So
that's
he's sitting
awesome.
In the back seat, like he talking.
Oh, nice.
It was really great. So thank you so much, Carmen. It made us laugh, and we, as I said, we usually were cowering in the corner with each new robot development.
Yeah, we're about to cower in a second. I have something here I found.
So
sadly.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for writing in. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I found this. Russian gun-wielding robot, totally not Terminator, says Russian official.
Totally not Terminator. Yes.
So they have a robot. It's called, it's an acronym, Fedor. And I'm not, it's in Russian, so I'm not, they haven't translated. I don't know what Fedor stands for. But it's unfortunately, there's a video out there that shows, even though they said it's not dangerous, of it shooting guns. That's right. It's the sight of a pistol-wielding android calls to mind a certain time-traveling, muscle-bound cyborg. So, talking about the Terminator. Fear not, say the Russians. He went on to explain that he was training the robot to fire a gun as, quote-unquote, a way of teaching machines to allocate priorities and instantly make decisions.
Oh, that's great.
We do not create a Terminator, an artificial intelligence. We're not doing that.
We're not doing it.
It looks like it, though. I looked at the video. It just looks like Terminator.
So it,
like, it looks 100% like
so
Terminator.
So it's a robot that looks like Terminator, and shoots guns, and it said we're not
But it's not Terminator. Then the next day, after he said it's not Terminator, he put up a video, which includes footage of the robot blasting away with handguns.
Wow.
Like a mechanical Wyatt Earp. And then in the background, there's action music, like action movie music. And then in quote, it says, Russian fighting robot guys with iron nature. Mm-hmm. But not Terminator.
What would be scarier? So we have these fighting robots that shoot.
Mm-hmm.
What about a robot that was nurturing? Would that be scary too? I think so.
I think just, well, what's scary is the people behind it.
Yeah.
So this guy, the robot has been called Ivan the Terminator and the Russian RoboCop. But the guy who created it said, before you get too alarmed, it seems to be, it's intended for peaceful use, according to a Russian government press release. First of all, does anyone believe a Russian government press release? Let's be honest.
Right.
Like, I don't think any nation is good or bad, but at least here we try to pretend like we're good.
Yeah.
They don't even try. They don't care.
This is just what we're doing.
I don't know. I mean, you know. So here's its final experimental demonstration object research. That's Fedor. It was created in 2014 to replace humans in risky situations, such as rescue work. I don't know why they keep telling this lie. That it's for search and rescue.
Everybody says search and rescue.
Why is it packing heat if it's search and rescue?
Exactly.
Like, if it's search and rescue, why does it have two six shooters? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Why is he wearing a cowboy hat? I don't know. Why is there action music?
Yeah.
Like, really? What's the search and rescue music sound like? So Fedor has been designed to move on uneven surfaces. I watched a video where it can use a power drill so they can drill into your skull.
Nice.
It can also crawl along the ground so it can sneak up on you or go underneath things. And it can drive a car. Russians are apparently so pleased with Fedor's development that they're planning to send it on a space mission in 2021 in which it will be used to assist astronauts who venture outside the ship on spacewalks and shoot them. Emphasis my own on shoot them. I have no idea. This is frightening to me. It's scary enough to me that the U.S. is developing this kind of stuff. But, I mean, really?
Yeah.
I don't have a positive view of Russia.
No, I don't either.
And not because I'm American. I'm thinking about what they have done all over the world. It's just not.
No.
Where's their peace mission? I don't know.
There is no.
There is none.
I've spoken to people from the surrounding areas,
yes.
And they're all like,
that's where I get most of my information from.
It stinks.
It stinks. Like, when I lived in Eastern Europe, I didn't hear anything positive about it.
Nobody says anything good about Russia.
I've never heard anyone be like, oh, sweet, the Russians are here. That's not really a thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also from what I understand, too, like, there's a lot of stuff falling apart. Maybe they should allocate some of these resources in Russia to not this and to, like, fixing some of the things like wolves taking over. Because wolves are doing very well there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So it's just creepy. Fedor, I will put up a link. I'll tweet a link out to it. They say it's not the Terminator, and yet it's packing heat.
Mm-hmm.
So, good luck. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.